Hi, welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm one of your hosts, Brady Gaster, and this is our other host, Corey Fowler, and we're back with another episode of WebCamps, and today we're actually going to have a community contribution. We're going to talk about a nice invention called Azure Query. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you may notice this great-looking gentleman beside me here. This is David Pallman. We used to be MVPs together. David is still an MVP and doing a really great job at it. I'd like to thank you a lot for all your help in the community. It's been really great. And I want to point out the really awesome hat that you're wearing today. So basically what David's going to do today is take us through Azure Query. But before you do that, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about what you do on a regular basis in terms of Azure?
Sure. As you said, I'm a Windows Azure MVP. I work for a national partner named Nudesic. What I actually do is I lead a consulting practice of about 120 consultants. They're responsible for cloud, Windows Azure, but also web, modern web, mobile web, as well as general.net. Cool. And so we and myself are heavily immersed in the cloud and in the web, and we're really passionate about both of them, but really about combining them, because that's where the power is really unleashed.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's it. Cool. So you're here to talk to us about Azure Query. Do you just want to give us a little bit of a premise around what the project was, where you got the inspiration from?
Absolutely. So Azure Query really comes out of this twin passion for modern web and cloud. Mm-hmm. The more we develop great solutions for customers using the latest technologies, both from Microsoft and the open technologies like HTML5, the more we see that all the great technology points out there, when you combine them well, is where things really, really shine. Mm. And in Windows Azure, it's been nice to see that Microsoft has really courted all the different corners of developers out there. So if you look at the Windows Azure Developer Center, for example, you're going to see not just the .NET Center, you're going to see a Developer Center for Java and for Python and for PHP. Mm. But I felt something's been sort of left out, which is client-side JavaScript. Now, there is a JavaScript Developer Center for Node.js, which is server-side, which is great. But still, recognizing that in modern web development, you know, we still very heavily lean on ASP.NET, MVC, Web API, the Microsoft Web Platform. But anybody who does modern web development also knows that a big part of your application has now shifted to the front end. We've had to become as fluent in JavaScript as we are in C Sharp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from that side of it, you know, writing code in JavaScript, where it's moved from being a web glue to something where we have to do real application work, I want to get Azure from there. And there aren't too many direct paths for doing that right now. Yeah. Of course, we could just call the server and have the server do all the work. But having played with a lot of great open source libraries like jQuery, but that's what inspired this is jQuery. Could we do now? If you know anything about jQuery, it's what's called a fluent API or a chaining API, which really boils down to it's super powerful. We can do super powerful one-liners and not only, for example, manipulate the DOM or set an internet shell value or change a style, but can do that against an entire set of things based on a selector. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly powerful and it's incredibly elegantly designed. So we want to do something like that to let people get it when there's Azure. And I should say this is something of a mad scientist experiment. So it's also in its early stages. We decided to start with blob storage operations, mm-hmm. but we're not going to start there. What we're in the middle of right now, it's going to follow is table storage. We're not going to stop with storage at all. We're going to go to operations like deploying to the cloud and scaling up and things. But we're doing it in measured steps. I'm also trying to do it very, very, as a very disciplined open source project where we have extremely comprehensive unit tests and things like that. Yes. So it's in little steps, but they're comprehensive steps.
Awesome. What are you using for your unit testing stuff in the JavaScript world?
QUnit.
Nice.
And I'll show that running in
nice.
A little bit.
Nice. Yeah.
Of course, I want to show it to you, but I want to point out where you can get it. And the documentation page actually does highlight some of the valuable ways you can use it. I thought I'd start with that if I can. So cool. AzureQuery.com, which will just take you to AzureQuery.codeplex.com. It's where you get it.
Okay.
And the documentation page, in the spirit of a lot of these open source libraries you see, is a pretty short, simple page that really gives you the main things you need to know. What does it do? And here's some examples. And really, the way you use it, you start with a well-known object, AQ, for Azure Query. And if you want to get the storage stuff, which is currently what we were supplying, you say .storage. And from there, you start chaining away. What do you chain with in terms of methods? Well, you got to select something. So one of the selection methods is called container. Mm-hmm. So you can select a container. Or containers. I can select a bunch of containers. I can wildcard. I can select all the containers in your storage library and do something with them.
Nice.
Oh, well. And then I can follow up with operations like create, remove, list. You can give me back the properties. Copy to another one. Let's go back to that selection. I don't have to stop at container or containers. I could add to that containers something, blobs something.
Right.
Yep. So I can select some or all of my blobs in a container or containers. Yep. So this is very powerful. It's also very dangerous. So aq.storage.containers:blobs:remove:delete everything in your storage account.
Oh.
That could be bad.
Yeah. So by default, we turn off delete operations. You have to explicitly enable a delete option to delete.
Cool.
Okay. That, along with our advice that you start out experimenting against local developer storage with the storage emulator.
Yep.
Okay. We say it real clear up front. Actually, say it several times. We don't want you to lose storage.
Yeah.
This is not like jQuery modifying your DOM, where if you make a mistake modifying the DOM, nobody cares.
Yeah.
This is your storage. So yeah. We don't want anybody to lose their data.
Right.
With power comes responsibility.
Okay. Spidey.
Spidey, man.
Love it.
Yeah. So, we kind of point out five reasons to like Azure Query. First of all, it brings JavaScript, client-side JavaScript into the fold of things that have some good Azure support.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it allows the client side of your web application to be involved in what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Third, this fluent API with the chaining and the jQuery-like elegance gives you succinctness.
Nice.
Easy. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do a lot of thinking to figure out how to do this.
Nice.
Then you've got the power of working on sets, large selectors and things like that.
Cool.
And lastly, and this is pretty important, because this will be showing up a lot, I think especially will be nice in the next installment of table storage. We do a lot of things with JSON objects. So if I got a JavaScript object and I want to store it, say, in a blob,
mm-hmm.
it's effortless. I just pass the object. I have a method that knows how to set an object into that. And there's the serialization, the JSON, and everything, and gets it back. When we do table storage with entities, that will be really powerful to take an object and it becomes an entity in a table.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd be fantastic.
So you mentioned you had full support for blobs, but the one thing that you didn't mention was the metadata for the blob. Do you support blob metadata with this as well?
Yeah, I can get a blob, and I can inspect its properties, and I can change them and set them.
Awesome.
We probably don't have every little property attribute in there yet.
Yeah.
But there's more to do.
Yeah.
Again, this is a first step towards more. Cool. As people using US feedback, certainly we appreciate that. We're also, again, in the spirit of open source, that's why it's on CodePlex, very open to other folks jumping in and helping extend those areas if we miss something that
cool.
they need.
Great. So. Cool. Is this something that, I'm just curious, because Neudesic does a lot of stuff with Azure. Is this something that you kind of started on your own, or is this something that was kind of started within Neudesic, or is this all yours? Do you take care of it yourself? Do you incubate it and whatnot?
This particular thing is my baby. Again, I'd be eager to have someone to share the credit or blame with, so it's not just me. But
cool.
Awesome. I just spearhead this particular one.
Wow, nice. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. That's fantastic. Even better.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at it. Just a couple syntax examples before we go to a real project here. On the JavaScript side, we have a JavaScript library called Azure Query.js, and you just include it with your scripts. That's real easy on the client side. And then you start using it. And again, it's just aq.storage is your lead into the storage library. And then whatever you want to select, containers and blobs, whatever you want to do, store, get a text blob. Again, it's very jQuery-like.
Awesome. Cool. Are there any dependencies, or is it all by itself?
There's no, on the client side, there's no dependency other than if you, one of the things we, for getting and setting blobs, we'll let you do it with text, we'll let you do it with a byte array,
right.
and we'll let you do it with JSON objects.
Okay.
The byte array is a problem because JavaScript does not have efficient storage of large byte arrays.
Okay.
And so if we just get everything back in the byte array, that ends up just being impractical.
Gotcha.
So people
gotcha.
Usually do a base64 string. That's okay. what we do implicitly. A lot of people would, at times though, might want to turn it into a byte array and go through it. So we there is another library we found out there that we include with credits where it came from
mm-hmm.
that you can use. That knows how to turn that into byte arrays and back and forth.
Okay, okay.
But it's optional.
Okay,
cool.
So you wouldn't have to have jQuery first. You just grab this and go.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The illusion of jQuery is just we're inspired by its elegant design.
Nice.
We're not actually using jQuery.
Cool. Awesome.
Just a couple other examples here. So on the server side, well, here I will go with a piece of code. So how do you use this in a project? Well, we give you in addition to the source, we give you a sample project and. What we're doing on a server side, well, first of all, why do we need a server? We'd rather leave the server out. It would be mm-hmm. great if the JavaScript client could just talk to Windows Azure. And unfortunately, with the domain restrictions that web clients have, the only way we'd be able to do that is if there was a JSON P addressable service to talk JSON for Windows Azure, like storage, which there isn't today. So we have to go through a server.
Okay.
Well, one of the other things, though, would be you don't want to expose your storage credentials. Okay. On the client side.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So mm-hmm. that's a plus. And that is something that you know have to be careful about, obviously. So for better or worse, we have to go through a server.
Nice.
And we chose to do this, embrace the latest stuff, so ASP.NET Web API. Using Visual Studio 2012 is what you give you. If you wanted to use something older, you could, but you'd have to do basically adapt the implementation.
Cool. Some plumbing.
So using Web API, So we did a lot of thought about this because we want to make it easy for people to use. And yet, you know, here we are, part of your web product. You know, assuming you don't just have this as a standing thing just for Azure Query, you probably want your web server to do a lot of other things, right? Yeah. So you wouldn't want to be obtrusive. So we thought about this quite a bit. And what we did is we came up with controllers in the spirit of MVC for blob, and soon we'll have some for table and other operations that we put into a library, a DLL that you just referenced. So you see here in my references, I reference Azure Query Lib. That's a library that's really got a blob controller and a table controller. And all you need to do to hook that up into your code is create an empty blob controller like this. We simply reference ours.
Great.
And that's it. That's all you could extend it, but you don't need to. And that's all you really need to do to hook it in. So that's the best way we figured out to do this in the right way without getting in the way.
Cool.
So that's currently how you hook it in.
So one question here. Now that you are inheriting from the other thing, are all your methods within there virtual, or... like, is there a way to actually change the implementation details?
Well, we do give you the source, so of course you could change
that.
That's
true. That's true. But I mean, like, if we're already pulling into the project, we only want to change one thing. We wouldn't necessarily want to build out the entire project just to have that one implementation change.
Right? So yeah, I'm sure you could override the methods. Cool. I need to double check if we put the right signature there. But,
okay. Great.
If we didn't, we will. I'll make that commitment right now.
So. Awesome.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
So as far as how you use it. Let's see here. So in this particular sample project, we have, well, let's run it. This is a sample project. We've just put up some buttons and things. So first of all, which storage account would it be using? Let's look at our web config. So under our connection string section, we have a connection string called default, which has a cloud account of mine, storage account called Azure Query. Cool. You could, of course, use the developer storage. Now, when I said you use this AQ object.storage, it's really storage in parentheses, a name you want to use. Mm-hmm. It'll default to the term default if you don't give it one, but you could tell it which Azure account you want to use.
Okay. Cool.
And what that means is that the credentials comes out of the config here on the server side.
Cool. Great.
So let's just show you that this actually works. Already running, so like list containers. This is doing a simple chain. Where do those containers come from? Well, I have Azure Storage Explorer here, which is another community donation of ours, and you see we have a number of containers here in our blob storage. There's one called test, and let's show you what the source project looks like. And the reason for that is it includes the unit tests that run through every possible permutation of these different methods.
Cool. Okay.
It's good examples, and also shows you how thorough we've been about testing it all.
Nice. Cool.
So the source project is just called Azure Query. It's actually a front end project very similar to the one I showed you, and then it's got the actual source here. So we have the true blob controller with all the methods in it, and soon we'll have a table controller one. When we run this, you'll get a page. It says welcome. It's got a dashboard where you can play around with blob storage. So you can load up some different queries here and just try them out. You can freeform type them also and see the results.
Cool.
So like I just got a list of containers. If I wanted to actually see like those, I could take a particular one and look at its name property, right? And then I get its name down there.
Cool.
And
nice.
So I could, for example, I could put a text blob into storage this way, right? I have my container called test and a blob called text.txt and set this to the text hello. Okay, and then I could get it back. There it is.
Great.
We can see that it really did create that.
Cool.
Right, and it really does have that content.
Cool. That's awesome.
And again, we could do the same thing with a byte array or with a JSON object. For the unit test, then, we use QUnit, which is a popular JavaScript testing framework. Simply go down here to the unit test for blob storage. So take just a minute to run. It's pretty quick.
Nice.
It's nice to just be able to do that straight from a demo project.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this will finish in a minute. It should show green. And when it does, then we'll look at the code behind it.
Cool. One question I have while it's doing this, when you added that text.txt to storage, it still had the application's auklet stream as the default content type. Do you have the way to change content types from within Azure Query?
Not yet, but that's a great suggestion. Cool. I think what we'll probably do is keep some of the simplistic methods. Just here it is, right? But if you want to do something like that, you should be able to. I think probably the way to handle that is an optional second argument after the text, which is just a JavaScript object contains any properties you happen to want to set.
Okay.
I think that's probably how we'll handle
that. Cool, yeah.
We can use that pattern everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so we passed our test. We ran 98 of them. And you'll see that we tested a whole lot of things here.
Wow.
And they all allegedly worked. That test code, just find where that is.
This is actually the sample project that you give out with the download.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. We're holding nothing. So the actual JCUNA tests look like these. So we have modules, which are just categories of tests, and the tests just they do some Azure query things, and they use Azure query to get the results back and test that the expected things were there. So they're simple and short.
Nice.
So lots of examples of things. I probably can't hold to the test every permutation rule as the number of methods grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a good coverage is what we're after.
Cool. Awesome. Great. That's fantastic.
So that's about all there is to say there. Like I said, we're going to take this quite a bit further. So table storage will be showing up pretty soon. We're just a week or two away from being done with that. That again, I think, is one of the more exciting ones because of the object to entity mapping being seamless and automatic is nice.
Yeah.
The another one we're going to do, which might surprise people, is we're going to do relational database with SQL Azure, or sorry, Windows Azure SQL Database. It's called now. And the reason we want to do that is. We want it to be really easy to go back and forth between those things. You know, it's great to have Windows out of storage, and it's great that we have the relational database, mm-hmm. but it's not so easy to go back and forth between them. Yeah, people constantly need to do that for archiving and other reasons.
Right.
So we want this to be an effortless way to go back and forth between them, an effortless way to copy whatever the artifacts are, blob storage, table storage, databases, other things down the road, to effortlessly move or copy them between different accounts and even different data centers.
Cool, great.
We want to make those things really easy.
Nice.
One other thing in our future plans, I can't commit to when, but it might occur to you that although this is interesting, some of the large set operations might be more efficient if done on a server
mm-hmm.
than having a number of communications back to the
right.
server. And I mentioned earlier the Fluent API, the chaining. Of course, people in the Microsoft world are familiar with that if they've used Link. Right?
Yeah.
They've mm-hmm. already seen a really good, mm-hmm. very good example of that. Mm-hmm. We are thinking that once we do what we want to do on the JavaScript side here, that we will do a C# equivalent API, exact same methods. For the server side.
Cool.
So people can choose between either way and they will have fidelity in the syntax.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. That's great.
That's fantastic.
One project to rule them all.
Yeah. What about Service Bus? Are you going to make a publish subscribe implementation using Azure Query for Service Bus?
Well, we might. We definitely want to go beyond just blob storage. On the other hand, Azure's pretty big now. It's got a lot of services. I don't know if I want to commit to handling every service because that may take a while. But
I'm just thinking about sending objects into Service Bus from JavaScript. I'd be pretty into that.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hot. Regarding the table storage one, I don't want you to give too much away, so just stare at me if you're not allowed to answer this. But are you actually going to give people the ability to send in, let's say, like a JavaScript dynamic object, and when it gets to the server side, you'll figure out what the properties are and build the table dynamically? Is that kind of the idea?
Yes, very much so. So if you know anything about Windows Azure table storage, there are no schemas associated with the table anyway.
Right.
So that's actually very simple to do.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Yeah, just use simple reflection on that. Cool.
We might even do it in the database because, it's becoming more and more of a dynamic world. People have been inspired by the JavaScript dynamic and, we've already seen it with the DLR and such. And various corners of Microsoft are doing more and more dynamic creation mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So we might well do it with database also.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I can't wait to start playing with this. When I saw your first... tweet about it, but Corey and I met in the hallway. We were running to one another. Did you see this?
It was one of those very awesome moments.
Oh my God, Azure Query. So this is pretty
great.
Cool.
I do want to reiterate, it's early on, and there's some things we still have to figure out.
Right.
We're still thinking through what the best error handling model is.
Cool.
And also what the best thing to do with security ultimately is.
Okay.
We're not in violation security because we're going through the server.
Yep.
But still, we don't want an outsider. We want a hacker to study this and do some sort of outside call, right?
Yeah.
That's why we're probably going to end up doing everything with posts, I think, instead of gets.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually looking for input for people who are brave or foolish enough to take an early look at this.
Okay,
what do they need? What do they think? We want to make sure we come up with the right way to do it.
Cool. Great.
I think we have a hacking challenge.
Yeah. That would actually be really cool.
Cool.
One thing that you did kind of bring up there with regards to security is I read in your post that you don't have any way to deal with security right now. So if you did want to secure the calls a little bit more, it is the responsibility of the developer that's using this library to make sure that whatever calls are happening are secure.
And it will always be the consumer's ultimate responsibility. That's why we warn them all over the place about things, including not erasing everything because they were careless, right?
Right, right.
But we're not terribly vulnerable in the sense that the credentials to your storage are on the server side. But right now there isn't anything. If the server is going to reject the client request, right now you've got to tell it why.
Yeah.
And of course, with web it's going to be part of your web application, the server side. People have a lot of different choices about how to secure. Right. Mm-hmm. So we certainly don't want to pick a method that's going to dictate to other developers how they secure the web apps in general.
Right. Okay.
That's why we haven't done it yet. We've got to think this through a little more carefully.
Okay, because my follow-up question to that was going to be, do you have any guidance that you can give to developers that are looking to do the early on stuff?
Don't delete all your data.
Don't delete your data. That's definitely a good one.
Yeah.
There's nothing in place, but if they would like to go and comment on the CodePlex site.
First of all, they have the code, right? So if they have come up with a way to secure their web API, and web API is still, it's great, but it's still pretty new, right? And people are still getting used to it and how to secure it and things like that. Mm-hmm. So people can still secure the web API any way they want to, and that's one way to do it.
Cool. But right now you're not blocking calls that didn't come from the
server. We're not going to try to tell people how to do security. I think what we probably will do before too long is have a default way of handling it that people can either turn off or they can override with their own implementation.
Okay. Yep.
Sounds like the right way to go.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good way.
That sounds awesome. Do you want to go ahead and plug the Storage Explorer too? Because that's pretty neat.
Azure Storage Explorer. Now, I got to say, if you want the best Storage Explorer out there, you probably get the one from Cerebrata, which costs money, but not very much money.
Right.
It's commercial grade. It's well maintained. Okay. Now, this is just a gift to the community that we've been doing since 2008. We're up to version 5 now. It now has the new Azure portal look. But it's definitely a part-time thing.
Yeah.
So actually, the total number of downloads, if I go back to the first version, 2008, we're close to 100,000.
Nice.
So that's good. For those of you who really wish I would add this feature or fix this issue, I don't ignore your issues, but the truth is I do have a day job, so it's only occasional. So
there's two truths to that. You have a day job, and it's open source. Why don't you look at the code and do some yourself?
Exactly.
That's right, too. So just know what you're getting in for. You know, we give refunds to people who aren't happy with it. Because they didn't pay anything for it. So. But that's at Azure Storage Explorer, that codeplex.com.
Cool. I like that a lot, too. That was pretty neat. I saw that. I don't have any more questions. I think this is awesome. I really want to play with it. I'm excited to have you on the show because when I heard there was a server component, I was like, well, I can read the documentation or we'll just get them on the show to show us how to do it. So this is pretty good. I actually want to go play with this. So.
And for people who just want to follow what's going on, of course, you can follow on the page here, but also on my blog, davidpullman.blogspot.com. I do blog about it as we do updates and take people through the highlights.
Cool.
Awesome. Cool. I do have one last question.
Yeah.
I know that you've been working on a series of books and really enjoyed the first one. Do you have any news there that you might be able to share with us? Or?
Sure. So the Windows Azure Handbook is a series I started, and the first book came out in March last year. And the first volume was very deliberately not a technical volume. It was about planning a strategy. I believe it's the only business book out there on Windows Azure.
Hmm.
Volume 2, which has been long awaited, is on architecture. And I really had hoped to have that out last year. The reason I held off on it, to be honest, was I knew a lot of work was being done on Windows Azure to broaden it. And as everyone knows now, it was relaunched on June 7th and has a lot more in it. Now that that's happened, I'm out of excuses. I need to really finish that and get it out. It is something I'm working on. What will probably happen first is the architecture volume is going to be about the architecture of Windows Azure and services. It's going to be about different application architectures that work in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But the second part of the book is really a big design patterns catalog. And I have a website that is in need of updating called azuredesignpatterns.com. That's going to get updated first. That's companion content to the book. So you're going to see that get updated probably next month. That will be done already.
Cool.
And from there, it's on to take that content and add to it and finish the book. So I am targeting this fall.
Cool.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I actually developed one more question while you were answering Corey's question. Given the Windows Azure website support for multiple server-side frameworks, so you can do PHP, Node, ASP, whatever, you can actually run all those in one site. So I could have one site that had .NET code and PHP code. Is it conceivable that I could have an MVC controller, one of your custom controllers on the back end at, in .NET, but the rest of my site being PHP, and I'm actually making calls to that controller from PHP pages that have Azure Query code on them. So basically, you satisfy the server side by having your controller.
I don't see why not. Cool. Everything in MVC is an HTTP call.
Right.
So if you can,
sure.
If you can call HTTP, you can call it. So.
Cool.
So you'll be blogging on that, I presume?
Freddie has this segment of the show that he assigns work to me, and then I just promptly ignore it. but I don't know. Maybe I can't promise anything, but I might take a look and see what we can do.
I think that'd be pretty neat.
I should mention, I just thought of one other angle just to mention on Azure Query. I'm doing a lot of Windows 8 development work right now. In fact, that's why I'm up here in Redmond for Windows 8 training this week. Since one of the paths to programming Windows 8 is WinJS, JavaScript, it's likely we'll have a Windows 8 consumable version of this also.
Nice. Cool. Nice. That'd be great. So you could just do all your Azure stuff directly from HTML, JS, and Windows 8.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
Which is important, because I don't think you can hook in the Azure SDK directly to Windows 8, because it's 4.5 today anyway. So.
Well, you could always call services.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Out on the web that would do other things in .NET 4.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to play with this. This will be fun.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and taking us through the nice overview of Azure Query, and hopefully you will see a lot of people start picking up on this. I know Brady's probably going to be pretty excited to do so.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's been fun to kick it off. It's a little bit of a mad scientist experiment, but we want to grow it into something that's useful. And the way it'll happen is if people kick the tires and give us honest feedback about what they think, and we'll just keep making better and better.
Yep.
Great.
Awesome. And if you have a open source project that you have enjoyed working on that's related to web technology, you're doing something neat with some sort of script or server-side functionality, and you want to show it off, get in touch with Corey and I on Twitter, because we're actually looking for other community members to come into the studio and show off the wares. Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you. So if you're interested in this, we don't just have Microsoft employees on the show. We have all kinds of people on the show. So we'd love to have more community involvement. So if you're working on some PHP stuff and you want to show it off, Corey'd love to interview you. So
great. Awesome. I guess we have a show. Cool. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you next time on YCAMS TV.
Cool. Thanks a lot.